Please keep your Bibles open in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 17. John 17, 17. Here you have just one sentence plucked out of a long prayer that Jesus prayed while he was interceding for his people, particularly the disciples, and also those who would come to know the Lord Jesus through their ministry in time to come. And this is what Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." That was a sentence from the Lord's Prayer. We are all happy to hear that others pray for us. Are you? I'm very happy to know that people do pray for me. Sometimes I do say, I move about in the wings of people's prayer for me. It's so true. But it makes me even more happy to tell you that our Savior prays for us. He is at the right hand side of the Father, remembering all His children, every one of them. The old and the young, the strong and the weak, the living and the dying, all are at the tip of his tongue, and he remembers them all before the Father. You remember how Jesus prayed for Peter? Peter was very self-confident, moving about thinking that he is such a wonderful follower of Christ, and he even told Jesus, "I will not deny you, I'm ready to die," and so on. Jesus said, "Peter, Peter, you don't know what's going on. The devil wanted to sift you, but I pray that your faith will not fail." Who? Peter had no knowledge of what was going on. He didn't know the unseen enemy was ready to destroy him. The Lord knew it. And the Lord said, "I prayed for you that your faith will not fail." You know, my dear friend, why you are here today? Jesus prayed for you. Do you know why your faith is still intact? Jesus prayed for that. And listen to him what he prays. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Beloved, what a friend we have in Jesus. So willing to pray even when we are not so willing to pray. When we wouldn't admit our failures, he doesn't abandon us. You know, if we have kids whom we correct and they wouldn't listen to us, we will sometimes end up saying, "Go and die, what to do?" I have heard parents saying it. Because they don't want to listen to us. If the Lord were to take that attitude to us who are, you know, stubborn Christians, stubborn, unwilling to take heed to His warning. If Jesus were to take that attitude, what will it be? Destruction, destruction and peril. Oh, what a wonderful friend He is. So willing, so speedy to come to our aid. So that the evil that is ready to come upon us might be prevented. That the arrow, that fiery arrow of the devil may not burn us up. Chapter 17 of John is a very holy ground, I must say. Every page of the Bible is holy. Particularly this is in a sense that here you see the high priest in the Holy of Holies praying for you. Christ in the presence of God. "Take off your shoes. Put away all the worldliness and all the thoughts and listen intently to what the Savior says in the presence of His Father. Sanctify them." What a cry! What a cry! What's the greatest prayer? What is this prayer? Our sanctification. The very thing that we don't possess in any way of our own. We are all depraved creatures. We are desperately wicked people. And concerning us, He says, O God, sanctify them. Truly, we are standing upon a very holy ground. Something that is not familiar to us. Something that is not so natural to us. You know what is natural to all of us? A deep desire for sin. It is very natural for man to sin. It is very natural for us to lust after the flesh. We dream about it. We seldom dream about righteousness, right? We are so greedy and we are so materialistic. We are so carnal. That is so natural to us. But these words are heavenly, celestial. These are the words of the Son of God. Sanctify them. Today we are called by the Spirit to think about it. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit to understand this prayer for holiness. So let's sit with the prayer. Lord, by Thy mighty Spirit, teach us. These are things beyond me. These are not natural to me. Unless You cause me to think. Unless You help me to understand. Then I cannot comprehend them. Let's first of all think about what our Savior asks for us. Then we will think about for whom He asked those things. And after that we will think of whom He asked those things. And finally, how are those blessings to be brought to us? What did Jesus ask? Simple, because we all can read it, just two words. Sanctify them. Jesus has been praying quite a few things for the believers. He asked that the Father would keep them from evil. He asked the Father that He would protect them from the world. And now He comes to this high point of His prayer for us, where He says, sanctify them. The word sanctify has a range of implication. I'm not able to follow it through all its shades, but maybe one or two within the context. Normally when we talk about sanctifying, we are talking about being cleansed of our sins. It all begins with our salvation. Now here, the Lord is particularly praying for those who are already saved. The disciples and those who would believe. In other words, sanctification is a great spiritual experience that we must continue to enjoy all the days of our spiritual journey on earth. On the day when we believe on Jesus Christ, we are declared not guilty. In other words, we are justified. And the righteousness of Christ is imputed upon us. And we are then onwards called the saints of God. Because we are now by faith God's children. By faith we have received the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Now those who are thus made free from the condemnation of sin, those of us who are now adorned with the righteousness of Christ, cannot take this great privilege lightly and walk into sin and get stained. Even though there is such a thing called easily besetting sin, it is expected of us that we lay it down. Lay aside every besetting sin. Nowhere in the Bible you see God allowing God's people to continue in sin. And our Savior, who came to give His life, prayed that we will not take our sanctification lightly, but we would seek after it and we will possess it and we will cherish it. And the Father in heaven would give it to us in great abundance. Don't you need sanctification today? Cleansing of our sins. Or shall we just pretend that we have no sin? Pretension is not sanctification. It is hypocrisy. It's a religion that our Lord Jesus hated, against which He strongly spoke while He was on earth. Now let us not be fools. Coming to the church without a desire to be sanctified will not make us true worshippers. Listen to your Savior praying for you. You who have come to the presence of God this morning to worship Him. Listen, listen. He is here praying for you. Sanctify them. That's the voice that is heard on the right hand side of the Father, where our Savior is now seated. That's the intercession. Sanctify them. He prayed that just before His crucifixion, as we read from John 17, and I'm sure that's what He prays. If you were to understand the teaching of the book of Hebrews, it clearly tells us that. Now let me bring to your attention, as I said, some of the implications of this prayer, sanctify them. Now please look into chapter 17 of John. And when we carefully look at this verse, Jesus says a couple of things from verse 11 concerning what He wants His people to be. And now, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are. So here the Lord Jesus says, Lord, keep them that they may be one as We are. And then He moves on to say, I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name, those that Thou gavest Me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have My joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. First of all, you notice in this passage that I read that the Lord is very concerned that the Father would keep them to Himself and don't let them wander into the world. The word sanctification is this idea of devotion, complete devotion to God, wholly dedicated to God. In the Old Testament, the vessels of the temple were sanctified. Means what? Not that they have committed sin, but they were dedicated only for the use of the temple. And the Lord here prays, the sum of the things that we read, it will be like this. Lord, I have come to save them. And I've taught them the word. Now, Lord, keep them from the world, because they are not of the world. Now I have saved them from the world, and they are now born again. They are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Now, Lord, keep them for Thyself. Oh, will you not join your Savior and say, Amen. Sanctify me that I may be wholly devoted to thy glory. Dear friends, our Lord is not praying that we will have worldly ambitions. You know why? Because we are not a worldly people. God is praying that we will have godly dedication. There will be a consecration that will constantly desire to go to God, away from the world. How consecrated are you in your life? How God focused are you in your life? What drives you on? What motivates you? What challenges you? What set direction in your life? Is it God and His glory? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Father, consecrate them to thine own self. That's one meaning of the phrase, sanctify them. Consecrate them unto thyself. Because we are saved for a holy purpose. We are not to be vessels of the world. That's why the scripture says that we shouldn't conform to the world. Why did Jesus give His life for us? Not that we may be taken back to the world. Not that we will be filled with the junk of this world. Not that we be fascinated with the perishing things of this world. But we may be washed thoroughly clean, and our eyes may be opened, and that we may set our affections upon things above, on the matters of God. That we might pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But most Christians today pray, unfortunately, Lord, let the will of the world be done on earth and in my heart. And later, if I have time, I will think about Your will. Isn't it? God is afterthought to many people in the church today. Just think about yourself. No need to think about anybody else. Just think about yourself. You call yourself a Christian. You're a member of this church. When you fill in application forms, they ask, what's your religion? You say, Christianity. But let me ask you, what is the one passion that you are pursuing? Are you wholly consecrated? Sanctify them. We all prayed together with the chairman at the beginning of this worship, what we call the Lord's Prayer, or the prayer that the Lord taught His disciples to pray. What is the sum of that prayer? May my life be wholly consecrated to Thee. That's the sum of it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is heaven. You know, this cannot be the prayer of the unregenerate people of this world. Who will pray that prayer, that Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Not angels. Angels got business up in heaven, and they will do what God wants them to do. But the problem is that we sometimes pray this prayer with such casual attitude that we don't even realize what we are praying. Hallowed be Thy name. Of course God's name is hallowed. Why should we say, Hallowed be Thy name? Let Thy name be seen in me, in all its holiness. Do we have that passion? Do we have that dedication? In other words, who would pray today, Father, sanctify me to Thy service. Lord, to thee I come. To thee I will go out of this house to be a witness to thy name. How many Christians are ashamed of Jesus Christ? When they are in their friendship circle, when they are with their colleagues, when they are with their friends, when they are with their relatives, many try not to even mention that they are Christians. They would just join in the pleasure of the world. Though they deep in their heart they know these things displease the Lord, they will just say, hey, after all, it's just like that. You know, the word sanctify also means that we must be separated from every unholy thing for the holy service. That's another meaning of the word sanctify. Separated unto God's glory. Oh, shall we not pray, Lord, bind me with thy cords of love to the horns of the altar, lest I may wander away to the world and be corrupted. Bind me to thyself. Separate me. Don't let me drift away into the world. We belong to Christ, not to the world. We belong to God. Jesus wanted to take possession of us. That's why he prayed, sanctify them. Lord, please, let every filth of the world be thrown out from the heart of God's people, that I would have them for myself. We must be vessels fit for the Master's use. We can never be vessels fit for the Master's use if we have given ourselves to the world. We have to be separated from the world. No wonder the scripture clearly says, come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. You who claim to be children of God, listen, touch not an unclean thing. And that is the characteristics of God's people. The church of Jesus Christ is a chaste virgin. The church of Jesus Christ must be a chaste virgin, wholly set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. His own words concerning his people that we just read says they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You know, one simple principle I normally give to young people, and I always take it for myself, I will not walk where Jesus didn't walk, or I will not walk where Jesus wouldn't go. I will not watch a thing that Jesus wouldn't watch. I will not listen to a thing that Jesus wouldn't listen. I wouldn't entertain a thing that Jesus wouldn't entertain. Some people told me that, oh, that's an old thing, you know. People have been saying that for thousands of years. Do you got something new? What is new? Let's sing and dance like the world so they will accept us, so we will have more people. In these days of apostasy, that means wandering from God into the things of the world and the devil, many think that the church cannot do better than to come down to the world and learn her ways. That's the modern philosophy of the churches, pastors, and churchgoers. Go down into the world and learn from the world and be like the world. Then we shall have victory. And so they dress like the world. They sing like the world. There is no difference between the church and the world. Christians and worldly people all look alike, they all sing alike, they all behave alike. Can we follow the maxims of the world? can we acquire the culture of the world for the church? Jesus prays, sanctify them, O Lord. That means get rid of everything worldly from them, O God. They are in the world, but let not the evil of the world possess them, O God. Will you not say amen? If your hearts are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you believe that the Spirit of God has called you to regeneration, that you may become the children of the kingdom of God, then you should pray amen to this. Cannot be like the world. No way. If you go after the world, let me tell you, you shall not see the gate of the kingdom of God. Those who belong to Christ will be sanctified. And that should be the prayer at the tip of our tongue. If the church seeks to cultivate the friendship of the world, she has this message from the Holy Spirit in the book of James, or in the epistle of Apostle James. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Oh, dear congregation, you who name the name of Christ, please don't be fooled. God is your enemy if he has made world your friend. May I repeat that? God is your enemy if you have made the world your friend. If you are thinking worldly, if you are acting worldly, if you want to appear more worldly, then listen. You don't belong to the kingdom of God. Unless you repent now and turn to him and pray the same prayer. Sanctify me. There is no sanctification when you keep all the filth of the world in you. When you put your clothes into the washing machine and you put some detergent and then afterwards you take it out, if all the stains, all the dirt, the sweat and perspiration are still on that clothes, do you call it washed? Will you consider it to be clean? You expect it all to be removed, isn't it? So let us not embrace the world. You know, what we are trying to do is like this. We put some detergent into the washing machine and put some mud and all the dirt and also put into the machine and wash together and hope it will come out clean. That's not cleansing. That's not sanctification. So sanctification is a dedication unto God and the separation from the world. One more thing I must say about it. It is a service to God. To be sanctified to God is to be not only wholeheartedly love God and commit ourselves to God's things, but to serve Him diligently. Rendering ourselves to Him. Completely. I have one singular passion, O God, is to serve Thee. If you were to follow after the ambitions of the world, then you are a worldling. If you want to attain things of your own heart, then you are being selfish. There's only one way you can be godly. Holy, it is by serving His will. As we just noticed in the Lord's Prayer, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As Jesus taught us by example when He prayed in Garden of Gethsemane, not my will but thine be done. It must be a wholehearted service to God. And that's what the Lord expected of the disciples, except the one who has gone out to betray him, even Judas. The Lord expected the rest of the apostles to be sanctified, and he prayed. Let us not take it for granted. Sanctification comes so easily. It's never easy. This morning I had an illustration of that. I was driving out of my house from Tampines. You know, in Tampines nowadays you have a lot of cyclists. Most people will cycle. My wife cycles, my children cycles. I occasionally cycle. Most of the time I drive around, but occasionally I also cycle. My wife, when she wants to do some marketing, she will take her bicycle and ride to the market. When my children want to go to some place, they want to take the MRT, they will take the cycle and ride to the MRT station and park it there, and then they take the MRT or the train. So you see cyclists everywhere in Tampines. It is known for people who go about, you know, cycling. So recently the government was trying to educate them how to cycle along the pedestrian path. And people are sometimes a bit too rash, you know, they cycle very fast and the pedestrians get scared. So they put marshals, cyclist marshals, on the footpath to teach them how to do things. So they come up with a rule: at every traffic light junction, cyclists must alight and then push the cycle across the traffic junction, and then once they're over, they can ride on. And if you don't do it, they will call you aside and warn you and even fine you. I don't know whether they started instituting fine or not, but that was the kind of news I heard. Anyway, so I asked my wife this morning, because I saw some cyclists trying to cross the road without much care, and I asked her, is it still required that you alight at the traffic junction and push across? She said, yeah, I think so. So I asked her, do you do that? She said, not now. So I said, why? And she said, you know, in the beginning I did it because everybody was doing it. And recently I noticed I'm the only one who does that. I look like a fool, you know, trying to get down from the cycle and push. When everybody is cycling across, I'm the only one who is trying to get down and push across, you know. So I look like a fool, so I just cycle across. You know, when we live in the world, it's so easy to follow the way of the world. It's so easy. Young girls wear modestly. It's so hard. They can't think modest dressing, because to them, the norm is be immodest. Less clothes, more money. It doesn't matter. More clothes, less money nowadays. You pay less for more clothes. But it's okay, because that's the fashion. And not to wear like that is to be out of this world. Some weird fellow. You know, what age you come from? So mini skirts are most welcome. You know, it's very hard to teach our daughters. A young couple who go for dating. To them, what is dating? Embarrassing. It's premarital sex. Even for Christians. And they put it up on Facebook nowadays. You know, young teens hugging and kissing. I'm sorry I'm saying this over the pulpit. I'm talking about Christian teenagers' Facebook pictures. For the entire world to see. Yesterday I talked to a young man. Hey, I saw all these pictures on your Facebook. Are you not ashamed? What will the rest of the young people think in the church? It's okay, isn't it? I said, I'm not going to put you in the youth fellowship to chair the meeting. You're out now until you order your life. Sitting on the girl's lap and the girl sitting on his lap and hugging and lying on the bed. All these pictures on the Facebook. don't even know what it is to be a boyfriend and girlfriend. Fun. This is Christianity I'm talking about. Why? That's the world. And the parents often tell me, Pastor, it's nice to preach these things. It's hard to get into our children's head. Can preach, but can't expect it from anybody. The norm for Christians today is to be like the world. Anyone who says that's not right is abnormal. If Jesus were here, probably he would have made a whip very quickly and get us all out of this church. Which young person would pray, Lord, sanctify me, just as Jesus prayed, Amen. Now, having said that, it's so difficult for us who live in this world to think differently from the world. We must quickly admit, God must work in our hearts. God must work in the heart of our children. Setting up rules and putting them up is good, but it doesn't change people. Jesus prayed to the Father, Father, sanctify them. Look into that chapter, please. John 17, verse 5, he says, Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. He addresses the Father, O Father. And then you come down to verse 11. Right in the middle of that verse, you read the Lord as saying, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Holy Father. That's in verse 11. Now you go further down to verse 24. He again says toward the end of his prayer, Father! And then in verse 25, O righteous Father! Father, holy Father, Father, righteous Father. Dear friends, to be sanctified in our ways, we must be God-focused. There must be this eternal pull toward God. Unless God draw us, we can never be drawn away from sin. We must pray to Him. Jesus Himself warned the disciples later on in the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The holiness of God, the infinite holiness. Who understands that? But we thank God. He is willing to hear our prayers that we might be sanctified. It is His pleasure to hear such petitions and grand, wonderful answers to that. Is there a young person who is listening to me this morning and wondering whether he is a Christian because of the corruption of his mind and the lustful ways in which he is living? Let him now call upon the Father who is able to sanctify us. And Father, I seek thy help to cleanse my thoughts. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. If there is any wicked way in me, cleanse me and lead me in the path everlasting. Turn to your God quickly. Upon accepting our sins, we must come to Him. And remember, the third thing that I want to bring to you is this. This prayer is not for the world. It's for those whom God the Father has given to His Son, the elect of God. Those who would come to Jesus. how we must appreciate this. I belong to God. I belong to Jesus Christ. I am His. May I say a word particularly to those who have given their life in response to the Lord's call to serve Him full time? You ministers of the gospel, you are going to be preachers of the gospel, those Bible college students who are listening to me. Your sanctification is of highest priority. The one who called you wants you to be a holy vessel. And my dear friends, without holy hands, how can we serve Him? We can be knowledgeable about God's Word and it be unholy. Let us say, Lord, sanctify us. Let the pastors, let the preachers, let the elders, let the deacons, let the Sunday school teachers, let everyone who named the name of Jesus and give themselves to serve Him, say, Lord, it's me that you are now praying for. Let the Father, who is praying for the Son's sanctification, firstly pray for His own sanctification. Do you know, sometimes we can be holier than thou kind of people, with the attitude that is fully of pride. And sometimes we deal with our children who go wrong with such pride about our own sanctity that we forget that we are saved by grace. And we talk about religion as one of merit that we have earned. We portray before our children that we are Christians because we have been good, not by grace. So we who teach others, we who nurture others, first of all pray for our own sanctification. Finally, let's see how this blessing will be brought to us. At the end of verse 17, we are told, through thy truth, and thy word is truth. We praise God for His word. Last night, I was sitting and thinking about this message. You know, I have this desire in my heart, which the Lord sometimes helped me to accomplish, to put certain passages of the Scripture into songs. And we call it Scripture in Song. And we sing exact words of the Bible. And it's sometimes a very difficult thing to do, to put music to exact words without changing any words. And last night the Lord led me to this passage, and I want you to just look at it. I'm not going to sing anyway. Psalm 56. It's a very interesting passage which the Lord reminded me last night in the midst of meditating upon today's passage and also thinking of singing something to the Lord's glory. And Psalm 56 verses 10 and 11. Psalm 56 verses 10 and 11. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. Do you glory in the Word of God? Do you rejoice in the Bible? It's one thing to believe that God has preserved His Word. It's yet another thing to rejoice in the truth. You know what it is to glory in the Word? It is believing that God has given us His Word without error, and at the same time receiving it with all joy that it may take control of our life. It means I would expel everything that is mere human ideas and replace it with that which is so glorious, the truth, the Bible, the Word of God. Today, we are guided by so many books, media personalities, entertainments that we see. If the Hollywood stars have a trend, and we all follow that. If our friends in school behave in a certain way, we just follow that. We are after the world. We are after the world. The world is feeding us. The world is controlling our mind. But we need to renew our mind by the Word, which is the truth. It is through His truth that He sanctifies us. Your church is called True Life. What does it mean? You are the only people who have life, or what? What does it mean? Nice name. Wonderful name. What is true life? Life that is lived in the truth. Otherwise you cannot call yourself true life. Only when our life is lived out in truth, then it can be called true life. Sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is truth. May God help us. May the Spirit of God continue to speak with you, talk with you. May He urge you to yield yourself wholly to Him, that the word of God may live in you, through you, and you may have the blessing of being a vessel fit for the Master's use. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, what a prayer we heard this morning. We all need it so greatly. Lord, to be frank, to be truthful before Thee, Thy servant would admit about himself and all of us here. Of ourselves, there is nothing that can be called sanctified. Nothing about us on our own can be lifted as holy. We are desperately wicked, we admit. Even after seeing the grace of Christ and the glory of the Lord, we have wandered away. What can it be, Lord? You told us we are the light of the world, but we are constantly walking in darkness. What it will be like if sun becomes dark? What is it when salt become unsavory? Can Christians be without sanctification? Can a people who say they have the truth ignore the truth? And it is true of all of us here. Thank you, our Savior, for praying such a wonderful and most needful prayer on our behalf. And we quickly say Amen. Sanctify us, O Father, just as Thy Son prayed on behalf of us. Sanctify us. And may You answer that prayer that Christ has prayed and now we pray in all its fullness. Oh Lord, help us. We need it. We do not sit here pretending that we don't need it. We need it. We desperately need it. Cleanse us, we pray. Sanctify us. In Jesus' name,
Amen.